We tricked you. This is Aaron Goldmanson. I'm in for Michael Patrick Leahy. Never fear. You're only stuck with me for another couple hours. Michael is going to be back on Monday. And you'll hear his take on everything, including yesterday's elections. Check out all the top news stories today on TennesseeStar.com. That's TennesseeStar.com. In studio, we have the chair of the Mission America Foundation, Aaron Spradlin. Also the man, if you want any sort of protection and security services, there you go. So, but how you doing today?
I am well, thank you.
Did you get any sleep last night?
It was short. It was very short. I think I left the last election deal at, right at midnight, and here we are.
Yep, and here we are at 6 a.m. I know you probably didn't get up at 3 like I did, but...
No.
Still, we're at 6 a.m., so... So I have a really burning question to ask you.
Okay. That's always loaded.
Is Twitter real life?
No.
And my joke on that, of course, is this is actually really not a joke. I think Robbie Starbuck found that out yesterday. I think Robbie Starbuck, honestly, if he was being honest with himself, has found that out several times during this whole process. And the right, spoiler alert, everybody, the write-in candidate didn't win the 5th Congressional District primary. Was there any observations you had about any of the races last night before we get into some other things? But
well, you know, the one that was being watched the most for me was Jack.
Yeah.
And how close that surprisingly was.
About 3 points, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was the one I was really focused on. One, that's my district. And besides the 5th, that's all I was really watching. Except my boy Jake over at 63, so.
Yeah, he beat Jake McCallman, beat Lori Cardoza Moore by almost 5 points, about four and a half points I'm looking at right now, based on the results that I am seeing. I think the deciding factor in this race, I say tongue-in-cheek, is Jack Johnson never did 20-minute videos on his Instagram wearing eyeliner.
Correct. I don't think I've ever seen Jack in eyeliner. Wow.
Yeah, it's 6:09 a.m. here on the Tennessee Star Report. We're throwing bombs today. It's the day after Election Day, and we're just having a good time telling jokes. So there you go.
Doesn't it kind of feel a little bit lighter today?
It really does.
I mean, after the 9-person circus and all the battle, it feels really good to take a breath and get ready for the general.
And this is the nice part of living in a conservative state, because the general in most of these races is a foregone conclusion. And regardless of what happens, I don't have to stress anymore. I don't have to spend every day going, what am I going to do about this this race? I don't have to, you know, I'm going to obviously cover what goes on, but we're going to basically, what I anticipate over the next several months is going, what did the Democrats say today that was socialist and leftist and stupid, you know, on Twitter or whatever?
Right.
And then, of course, I don't know if you heard this when you were driving in, but, you know, in the 52nd state rep district, this guy is going to provide a lot of fodder. Justin Jones, who is a Marxist leftist Black Lives Matter terrorist, he is the Democrat nominee.
We've had lots of dealings with him
in our
protection firm.
Yeah, y'all probably were assigned to make sure he didn't get in the building when he was banned for it, I'd imagine.
We had the chance to walk him out when Lindsey Graham and Marsha did their event a couple years ago and made all national news for that one.
Well, and so he, one of the many things, and if you're wondering why I'm so passionate about this, I said to the audience before, I live 2 blocks away from his astroturfed sit-in, but also, frankly, never curse my wife out.
Absolutely not.
He acts like he's the social justice warrior, but when the camera's not on, he is demeaning to women. I saw it personally. I have it on video. So, don't curse out my wife. Please don't. So anyway, there's Justin Jones, your social justice crazy leftist Democrat nominee in the 52nd House District. we're going to get into, we're running short of time in this segment. We're going to get into the guard issue a little more and what you're doing to help the National Guardsmen in the next segment. This is Aaron Gulbertson. He's Aaron's, it's A squared today. He's Aaron Spradlin. I'm in for Michael Patrick Leahy. He's back on Monday. This is the Tennessee Star Report. We'll see you after the break. This is Aaron Gulbertson and for Michael Patrick Leahy. Michael Patrick Leahy would be back here on Monday, so you only got to bear with me for a couple more hours. It's about 6:18 on a lovely Friday. Happy Friday, everybody, as we're heading into the weekend. I hope everybody gets to enjoy the Williamson County State Fair is coming up. My wife and I are going there, so we're going to have a little bit of fun. In studio, we have, as I'm joking today, it's A squared. We have Aaron Spradlin in the studio with us of Mission America Foundation. Aaron is doing, and he does the Lord's work on human trafficking with the Mission America Foundation, but he's also doing the Lord's work on helping out Tennessee National Guard members who are losing their jobs over the COVID vaccine mandate. I want you to talk about that a little bit, Aaron.
Well, you know, you said we were going to go to that in this session. Just as I went to one of my emails, I was looking at some of the years that the people that are being booted have. You have master sergeants, you have chief warrant officers, you have majors. It takes time to get to those ranks, right? So in time, that means that those men and women have spent probably at least two trips to the desert,
right,
to fight for their country, and now their country's letting them down. And so the point of what we're trying to do is not only work with leadership in the assembly to possibly figure out a route to pause this, but also to try to supplement some of the lost income that they'll have to endure, some pensions. I mean, these people have dedicated their lives to fighting for their country, and like I said, they're being let down, and so we're going to do our best to try to assist them.
If people want to help out, what's your website?
www.missionamericafoundation.com and .org.
Well, you got both of those there. So, yeah, that's missionamericafoundation.com or .org. So there you go. If you want to help out Tennessee National Guard members who are losing their jobs as well, I mean, you know, if that's not your cause, you can also certainly support the work that Mission America does to combat human and child trafficking. But that's missionamericafoundation.com. So what – I mean, you've been having a lot of conversations with people on this subject, as am I. I have talked to, the General Assembly appears to me to be ready to do something, especially now that we're all through the primary chaos cycle and now it's time to do the work, right? Did you hear what I was talking about before about this injured guy, this injured soldier who was on his way out? He's being out-processed.
Yep.
And they still are forcing him to do it. And it was heartbreaking. At the end, the last thing he said to me was, I don't know, because they're still trying to get him to get the second one after he got vaccine injured, was, I don't know what to do. I'll probably get it. It'll probably kill me. Right. I don't know what to do.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to lose his, he's got six kids to feed. I mean, this is somebody I will introduce you to, by the way, because this is definitely somebody you need to talk to. But it's, I mean, what do you think the next steps are on this?
Well, first of all, we need to, like I think I said, we have to meet with leadership. And we got to see what the state can do to get in the gap. We got to see if the Attorney General can possibly help us to get, hopefully, a judge to get us a stay, to get through November, have the general take back power, at least in two branches or in two different places that we've been lost for too long already, and put a stop to this. It's interesting coming from my background. When you go through basic training, you walk through a line of shots, but you know you're taking them.
Right.
Right. If there's something that you have to take that is experimental, you have to sign off.
Right.
All right. So when you're taking, and as we know, this is not a vaccine. this is not making you combat effective, like, say, for instance, an anthrax dose was in the day of that. And I mean, and that came with its own problems, but it made you combat effective.
Right.
If you're going to go into a place where anthrax is being used, your survivability is a little better. I'm sure that, you know, down the road, that'll all come back to be horrible. But the point being, you knew what you were signing up for to make you more combat effective and keep you alive in a battle zone. This is, you know, we just throw stuff together and put it in a vial and stick it in your arm. It's not making you combat effective. And as you've seen with the gentleman you're talking about, taking it down the totally opposite road.
Yeah.
And that effect will be with him for life, unfortunately. And he's in a position. But I think there's also a way that these soldiers can be represented, you know, with the proper legal guidance. In his case, you know, he's injured. They're forcing another. They're probably going to throw a dishonorable on him because of the fact that if he refuses it, yeah. and he probably has experience that makes him worthy of an honorable discharge, and it's a shame, and it's just all been a great disappointment to leadership from SecDef down, but that's expected with this one.
And I'm still trying to figure this out. I mean, obviously, we can get the blanket statement that the government wants to control people, and, you know, all these pharmaceutical companies are making their money. But it boggles my mind when you have a situation like this, or in general over the mandate, how you're forcing these people to get it. Why at this point, when it is even the Democrats and the leftists will admit that it's not going to stop you from getting COVID, and it's certainly not going to stop you from spreading COVID.
Right.
I don't understand why it's still in effect.
I don't either. I mean, we're looking at right now, the current person that lives in the White House has, he's on his rebound of his, and I think he's had every booster you can have. And he's still in isolation because he can't come out of the world, even though he's super vaxxed.
Right. I mean, he's also probably in isolation for a while because they don't want him to talk to the press for a bit. But, you know, there is that. Of course, we're referring to former Vice President Joe Biden. So, which I steal that line from Steven Crowder, by the way, former Vice President Joe Biden. And Steven Crowder also likes to refer to Kamala Harris as the actual President of the United States, which is pretty funny. I think in my opinion, probably Susan Rice is. But again, if you want to help out National Guard members, go to missionamericafoundation.com or missionamericafoundation.org. This is a really important, really, really important cause. And I was trying not to use the word mission, just to say it too many times, but it's a really important mission that Aaron Spradlin's on here to help the guardsmen. You know, I think this is a theory here, but I do think to turn this issue to politics for a little bit, I think Kurt Winstead cost himself a lot of votes by not engaging on this issue and just following Governor Lee's lead on it.
Well, I agree with that 100%. I mean, when you are the man, your job is to take care of your people, whether you're retired or not. In this particular case, if you're running for as many months as he was touting being a great leader and what he's going to do, well,
right.
Who are you leading if you're not leading the people that are the reason that you have the star? I mean, I've always been very loud about this, and we trained young kids coming out of West Point when we were when I was still in. You are propped up by your soldiers. They're the ones that make you great, and he knows that. But he played a line that I didn't never know anything of him until this, but I wouldn't want to go into battle with him.
Well, I think he'll be in, you know, he is an attorney, so that's what I mean when I say this, but I think the next battle he's in will be when he goes into a courtroom or some point representing a client. But yeah, I mean,
1 minute.
It was one of those things where when we were seeking comment on the National Guard firings issue that I actually anticipated that this was something that he could seize upon with his campaign. And it shocked the daylights out of me that he didn't even take a political position that was in his own best interest.
Right.
He just was very callous about it and ignored it. And it was very, very odd to me. And I think he wound up with 22 2% of the vote is what I'm looking at here. Yeah, that's right. So he did come in third place, and when all is said and done, it looks like he's going to have spent like $800,000 out of his own pocket to get just the third
to lose.
So this is Aaron Gulbranson. He's Aaron Spradlin. We're A Squared today. It's 6:27 in the morning here on Friday on the Tennessee Star Report. We'll be back after the break.